Last week we looked at the fear of the Lord. We looked at just a bunch of power scriptures in the book of Proverbs about what the fear of the Lord is and why it's so important. We saw the fear of the Lord as a fountain of life. We saw the fear of the Lord as the beginning of knowledge, as the beginning of wisdom, as a starting point. Without the fear of the Lord, you haven't even begun. We saw that the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And just verse after verse on this, without the fear of the Lord, there's no life. There's no knowledge of God. You can't know the true God without the fear of the Lord. And I just wanted to establish this because we want to get to know the true God. And the true God is love, but that's not all He is. And so we need to know who the true God is in balance. And what we're seeing is when it comes to natural man on earth and his relationship to God, natural man cannot just casually approach to God. If you search the scriptures from the beginning to the end, you never see people just casually walking up to God. Hey, buddy, how you doing? You're my pal. Yeah, big hug. That is not how people approach the living God. There is a right way to approach Him, and there is a wrong way to approach Him where you won't get very far. You won't get very close. So we're seeing the fear of the Lord is the beginning. In Psalm 34, now we're going to look a little bit closer at what is the fear of the Lord. Because again, a lot of times people are confused. Is it fear? Is it trembling? Is it what is it? A lot of times we're taught fear doesn't mean fear. It just means reverence. Okay, well, let's look at the scriptures, okay? And one of the things we just brought up last week was there's lots of different fears. There are fears of your own heart. There are fears of what other people might think about you or fear of man. There's fear from the devil, okay? There's all different kinds of fears. But there's a fear that's from the Lord, and it's a good fear. It's a holy fear. And what we saw, and I'll just confirm to you, is that if we have the fear of the Lord, the scripture says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. That actually, if we have the fear of the Lord, those other fears are going to be dispelled. It's impossible to really have the fear of the Lord and then have all these other fears. It's actually going to drive the other fears away. Look at Psalm 34, verse 4. David said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Amen? Now, he didn't deliver him from the fear of the Lord, but he delivered him from all his other fears, the natural fears, the fear of the future, the fear of death, the fear of pain and suffering, the fear of loss, right? All these fears that grip and hold people. Or the fear of failure, or never being a success, or never becoming what you're supposed to be. All these fears. David said, I sought Him, and He delivered me from all my fears. Not some, not most, all of them. Amen? Amen? Wouldn't you like to have that kind of deliverance? Wouldn't you like to be delivered from all your fears? You can have it. Just be like David. Be a man or a woman after God's own heart. Just go after His heart. Seek Him. He'll deliver you. Now watch this, look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. So, seeking the Lord will deliver you from all your fears, but there's a good fear that you need that's going to protect you. That literally the angel of the Lord will protect you in this fear, and this is the fear of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him and delivers them. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want. That means there's no lack to them that fear Him. Okay, so we see this fear of the Lord is something vital. It's important. Fear Him. If you fear Him, you won't lack. Look at verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Amen. So here's something I want you guys to understand. The fear of the Lord is not something that comes naturally to you. It's not something that comes naturally. If it came natural, you wouldn't need to be taught it. But David says, come children, I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. And that's what we're trying to do. We want to be taught the fear of the Lord. Look at Proverbs 1. This is something you need to be taught. And if you haven't been taught it, you probably don't have it. Like I was saying the other day when we were talking, when I was 18 years old, sitting at the dinner table, somehow the topic of the fear of the Lord came up, and I said, I don't fear God. And my mom was shocked. She was appalled. How can you not fear God? My dad says, I understand why he doesn't fear God. I mean, look at, I'm in a government school. I watch, you know, all the junk on TV that the average person watches. You're not going to fear God if you're just part of the world's culture and running around with the world's friends. You're not going to fear him. My dad understood. Now I understand why he doesn't fear God. I needed to be taught the fear of the Lord. But thankfully, at 18 and a half, I picked up this Bible and started reading it and reading it and reading it and digging into it and reading it and not giving up and reading into it. And over the next 8 years, God taught me the fear of the Lord. Look at Proverbs 1. In Proverbs 1, in verse 24 through verse 32, wisdom has been calling. She's been crying out for people to repent and to turn from their foolishness and turn from their sin and turn from their simplicity and to come to her so that they can know God, they can learn the wisdom of God. But in verses 24 to 32, these are people who refused to listen to wisdom. They refused. So in verse 28, when their destruction comes, then they're going to call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. See, the idea is when God's reaching out to you, that's your chance to respond. But if you put God off and go, I don't need you, I don't need you, I'm going to do my own thing. Well, then when you cry out to God, he might not be there for you. Okay, so you got to be careful with God. God is a real being. And he works in time. And he works in season. And there's a time when the door's open for you, and then there's a time when the door's shut. So it's important. You got to respond. But look at this. What was the problem? Verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose what? The fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is something you have to be taught, and it's something you have to choose. You have to choose it. You have to say, I want this fear. I want the fear of the Lord. I don't want to be afraid of what people think. I don't want to be afraid of the future. I don't want to be afraid of losing whatever. Losing my wife, losing my kids. I don't want to be afraid of death. I want to fear the Lord. It's a choice you have to make. These people, they didn't choose it, so they're going to be destroyed. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. The fear of the Lord. It's something you have to be taught, something you have to choose. Isaiah chapter 11. Verses 1 through 3. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. It's talking about Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. And then it explains in verse 4 that he'll judge with righteousness. But here's the point. Wisdom is a spirit. Understanding is a spirit. Counsel is a spirit. Might is a spirit. Knowledge is a spirit. And the fear of the Lord is a spirit. We're dealing in the spiritual realm. God is a spirit. He's called the Father of spirits. And so God has many good spirits that he has created that have come forth of him and that he has sent forth into the earth. And one of those spirits is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Just like we see in Proverbs, we see the spirit of wisdom calling to men. And she's saying, if you'll turn, I'll pour my spirit out to you and I'll make known my words to you. See, you're never going to understand God's wisdom without the spirit of wisdom to teach you. And you'll never understand the fear of the Lord without the spirit of the fear of the Lord to teach you. Now, does this spirit make me fear? Or is it just reverence? So let's look at what Jesus said. By the way, this was Jesus. He's talking about Jesus in Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. This is a prophecy of him. Jesus had the fear of the Lord. Okay? Matthew chapter 10. Look at what Jesus Christ says. In Matthew 10, Jesus has chosen the 12 that he's going to make into apostles. So they were first disciples. Then he laid his hands on them and gave them power against unclean spirits. He gave them power to heal all manner of sickness and disease. And then they became apostles. Okay, so not everybody's an apostle. We can all be disciples. We're all called to be disciples. Not everybody's an apostle. To be an apostle, Jesus has to hand choose you, has to lay his hands on you, has to give you that kind of authority and power in the spiritual realm. Okay, now, that doesn't mean we can't pray against unclean spirits. It doesn't mean we can't pray for people to be healed. But it's not the same as an apostolic authority and power. Okay, so these guys, he gave them. Boom, here you got it. And now you're going to go and you're going to preach and represent me. In fact, what he literally did when he was here in Israel, before he would show up to a town, he would send two of his apostles ahead. They would first preach, the kingdom's coming, the king's coming. They'd preach, and then he would show up and he would bring even more power and authority. Okay, so that's the way it works. So literally they would go around, prepare villages and towns, and then he would show up. Okay, so now here he's getting ready to send them, and he's teaching them and preparing them for what they need and what they're going to face. And he's explaining that they're going to be persecuted, they're going to be hated, they're going to be chased, and that they're going to be arrested and they're going to be brought before high councils and before trials. And literally, you're going to be brought before people who have the power to kill you or release you. Okay? And God gives that power to governments. And so here's what Jesus says, verse 26. He says, "Fear them not, therefore. Fear them not. Don't fear them. For there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. There's nothing hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Verse 28. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So here's what Jesus says. Don't fear them. They can kill you. They can execute you. They can torment you. Don't fear them. Because whatever they do, it's going to be exposed and brought before judgment. Don't worry, God will deal with it. But there's one you need to fear. Fear the one who can throw soul and body in hell. That's the one you need to fear. Who's that? That's God. He's the creator and he's the judge. Right? I'm just thinking of the scripture real quick. Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. He says, "See now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever." This is the Lord. It's the Lord God Jehovah. He's the creator, but he's the judge. I'm the one who has the power of life and death. I kill, I make alive. I wound, I heal. This is God. So Jesus says, fear him. By the way, he's talking to his apostles. He's not telling lost people, although one of them is lost. But he's saying, fear the one who can destroy soul and body in hell. Fear him. Hebrews 4. Let's go to Hebrews 4. So again, should we fear? I would say yes, you should fear. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hebrews 4. Now, it's interesting. Jesus didn't say fear hell. Although I think it'd be implied, you know, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be cast into a lake of fire. I want to enter the kingdom of God. Okay? But he said, fear him who has the power. Fear him who has the power. So I think the first thing, what is the fear of God? Where does it start as a natural man? Where the fear of God starts is for you to realize that God can give you eternal life, or God can throw you in hell, and I need to fear him. I need to worry about what he says and not be so worried about what everybody else says. I need to worry about what does he declare and not be so worried about what I feel, what my personal feelings are. This is where it begins. Here Paul is speaking to the Hebrew believers. I mean, most of these are believers. Now, you can't always know everybody who calls themselves a believer is a believer. You know, there's always going to be people in the group that think they're believers, but they're not. We know that. There are people, when they meet Jesus, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, this, and this? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. But Paul is exhorting them, and in Hebrews 3, he says in verse 8, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness. He says, harden not your hearts. Verse 12, he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So he's warning them. He's going, listen, you got to keep pressing. You got to keep pushing. You got to be careful, because if you get slack, that sin might deceive you. It might harden your heart and you go backwards. He's going, listen, don't take this thing lightly. Chapter 4, verse 1. So Paul says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now he's talking about in the Old Testament when God brought Israel out of Egypt. And they came right to the brink of the promised land. They were right there about to enter in. But they were too concerned with what the spies said instead of with what God said. And so the 10 spies says, there's giants, we can't do it, they're too big, forget it, let's go back to Egypt. And they believed that evil report instead of having a tender heart in the fear of the Lord, to believe, no, the Lord says he's with us. He's going to give us his land. Even if we see giants, even if it looks too big and too scary, we're going to choose to believe God instead of that. And so they got right to the brink, but they came short of it. And Paul says, let's fear. Let's fear so that we don't come short of it. You don't want to get right to the brink and then you find out, oh no, I got an evil heart of unbelief. I'm heading back for Babylon. By the way, God's calling us out of Babylon. Amen? I don't know if you've noticed, but this culture is Babylon. It's the Canaanites. It's the filth. You know, it's bad. I'm not part of the, I have nothing to do with modern culture. I don't watch TV. I don't watch movies. I have no idea what's going on. I'm completely clueless. I spend my time with my family, praying, reading the Bible, ministering to people. I have no idea. Unless I see a billboard or something, and unless I hear the jungle music as people drive by with their filth. But listen, here's the deal. Let me explain. The other day, somehow, on my computer, as I went onto YouTube, some filthy, vile thing came up about some young rapper punk who's just full-blown sodomite and all these naked men, and I'm going, wow, dude, they've gone to the pits of hell. What the music industry has gone, it came from hell, I know it, okay? Rock and roll, hip hop, all this stuff came from hell, but it's really descended back into hell now. Like, it's just full, open, exposed. It's just absolute filth. And you're dealing with Babylon, Canaan. Remember, when God brought Israel into the land of the Canaanites, The stuff they were doing was so vile. He goes, you got to kill them all. You got to destroy them all. You can't leave it. Not even the kids, not just destroy them all. The culture is so far shot, it cannot be saved. This is what we're headed for in the Antichrist kingdom. And you cannot stay in Babylon and love Jesus. You cannot love filth and love the Holy Son of God. You got to make a choice. So you either come out of Babylon and you come into New Jerusalem and you approach the holy city, or you're going to stay in Babylon where, you know, all the filth and vileness is. You got to make a choice. Look in Hebrews. We're in Hebrews, right? Chapter 10. So he's talking about drawing near to God through the blood of Christ by a new and living way. Because of who Christ is and because of his atonement and his sacrifice, his blood, we can come close. We can come close. So he says in verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I'll recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He's going, listen, what you've been called to is holy, it's noble, it's pure, it's righteous. If you go backwards on this thing and you trample under Jesus Christ underfoot, he goes, dude, there's nothing left for you. The only reason why we can have access to God is because of Christ and his sacrifice. But if we go back on that sacrifice, if we transgress against that, he's going, there's nothing left for you. What else can God do for you? He already did everything he could do for you by giving his son. If you lightly esteem his son, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Don't take the living God lightly. In chapter 12, we won't look through this whole passage, but he's talking about approaching to New Jerusalem and approaching to the living God and approaching to Jesus Christ. That's what this walk of faith is. This walk of faith is not just, let me have a good, blessed life, and then when I die, I go to heaven. No. The walk of faith is leaving this world behind and entering into God's kingdom, approaching to him. And what he says is, verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Something, huh? He goes, look, God spoke on earth in the old covenant, and if they refused him, they didn't escape. Now he's spoken from heaven. God opened up heaven, and he said, this is my beloved son, hear him, listen to him. So now he's spoken from heaven. He goes, if you refuse him, if you ignore him, there's nothing left. Verse 26, he's not going to just shake the earth, but he's going to shake heaven also. So verse 28, he says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So he says, look, we want to serve our God acceptably. We can't just serve him the way we think. We can't serve him the way we feel. He's a consuming fire. And we want to approach to him the right way. And how do we do this? By the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. He sends forth the spirit of the fear of the Lord to teach us, to guide us, to prepare our hearts so that we can enter into true covenant with him. There's more to explore, but I think that's good for now.